Well, I'm sitting here on a win or lose a tie.
Woo!
And I know if I can make it, I won't die. Well, it all depends on Tywell treating me. And we'll say that we're lost, but it ain't free.
Woo!
That, my friends, is the new intro, and it's Benji Sneed. He did that on the fly.
That's awesome.
I may keep that. I may work it in with the old intro. I don't know. I may get a DJ to mix them somehow, some way. But hey, most importantly, welcome to the Win, Lose, or Tie podcast. You're listening to this show. Obviously, you clicked on it somehow, and somehow you found it. And I am your host. My name is Ty King. And I'm the host of this shindig, and I believe this is the 90th episode, and if it's not 90, it's 91. That's the average podcast episode, I think, is 3 to 5 episodes.
Wow.
So, yeah. And so that's impressive to me. I've never stayed with anything this long ever in my life. So, yeah. And obviously, I have a guest today. We'll talk about him here in just a second. Today's episode, I want to tell you right now, is brought to you by House of Flowers. House of Flowers is 4210 82nd Street at Suite 224. It's just down from Payway. Let me tell you something about House of Flowers. Go ask for Justin. I went in there. I got my mother some flowers for her birthday that was earlier this week. And my mother, I am now the favorite child, and I've never been the favorite child ever. And I'm now the favorite child. House of Flowers, go there, get treated right. Mother's Day is coming up. You know what to do. Graduations are coming up. You know what to do. House of Flowers, do your thing. Last episode, Wes Kitley. Wes Kitley was on. 2-time national champion. He was fantastic. And The stories he told, the stories that we laughed and I cried and all kinds of things happened. But you really got a behind the curtain look at the guy that runs the whole show and how that works and why he's so successful and why I am on board and I'm the chairman of the board of naming the new loop the Wes Kitley Speedway.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I don't think it needs to be the loop. I think it needs to be the Speedway. The Speedway.
It's going
to
be that anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So the new loop needs to be the Wes Kitley Speedway. So go back and listen to that episode, man. Wes Kitley was fantastic. Speaking of national champions, hey, today's guest, I don't know if he's ever won a national championship, but he's won one in my heart. And it's the one and only. He's a local legend here in Lubbock. He's been a friend of mine for a long, long time. And we've been trying to get this episode done and on the air. And finally, we're making it happen. It's Mr. Brian Mudd. Brian, welcome to Win, Lose, or Tie.
My brother, it is the best to be in here with you. I'm telling you. I'm a big fan. Listen to podcasts whenever I can. You're doing a great job. Great guest. But you're killing me now, bringing me on to follow a national champion coach who's the greatest.
I know.
So what am I supposed to do to follow up with that, right?
I don't know. That's up to you.
Dude, I know, yeah. He's the best. But I first met him when I was working in Abilene, and he was at Abilene Christian doing the same thing. And he is the same guy today with all those national championships and all the respect from nationwide. He's the same guy today that he was then.
Yeah.
Awesome human.
And I didn't even bring this up, I don't think, but the very next week, outdoor season started. Mm-hmm. He just won a national championship, and their first track meet outdoor is at ACU in Abilene, and it's the Wes Kitley Invitational.
Right.
I mean, when you have your own track meet named after you, and it's not even the school you coach at,
right?
That is amazing.
Because they love him, and what's not to love there?
I know, 100%, man. He's a great dude. But speaking of great dudes, Mr. Brian Mudd, I'm happy to have you on, and we're going to talk about a lot of things today, and first and foremost, you're known here locally as Brian Mudd, the anchor, mm-hmm. and the news anchor. And I love KMAC. It is
thanks,
I've adopted KMAC. I used to be a Channel 11 guy, so I used to work there.
Sure. Well, you and me both. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's true. You used to work there too. Yeah. But I wanted to tell you the reason is because of you and David Collier, because David Collier is one of my greatest friends. And it's not, it's because I have a love affair with David Muir.
Well, you and a lot of people.
And I'm not even gay.
Yeah, you're right.
And I ABC World News Tonight, and I just can't wait till he says, tonight.
He's just the smoothest cat ever.
Dude,
and it,
that guy.
I hate, it's another thing, it's like following Wes Kittley. Yeah. We have to go on right after that, and I'm like, oh, no, man.
I know.
And it sure is anything, I'll screw up the first word or two. And then everybody's like, oh, and they're kicking the channel off and changing or whatever. I'm like, gah!
And I just know he's going to go to Ginger Z, and they're going to time it all out.
Right.
Oh, man, he's so good. So today, but really, I want to talk about how you got started. I want to talk a little bit about your switch from sports. I want to talk a little bit about your family. But really, who wants to talk about Sherry? I mean, you know,
everybody should. I mean, she's the greatest.
She absolutely is the greatest.
Oh,
when I saw her at the engagement party or whatever it was, because we have True is getting engaged to Abby.
Mm-hmm.
Abby happens to be really good friends. Her mom. Let me get this straight.
Right.
Her mom is friends with Sherry.
Right. So and her dad and my wife used to work together, in two different occasions. One at a shipping logistics company. Mm-hmm. That's where they first met. And we became friends with all that crowd.
Yeah.
And then her husband actually worked with us at KMAC for a while doing sales.
Gotcha.
And now he's back over tech doing that. So we've been good friends with them. I mean, I remember Abby when she was, you know, knee high and running around, you know, with the rest of the kids.
I do too. I remember True when he was knee high.
Right.
He was 8 months old.
Yeah. And now we're knee high to True because he's like 19 feet tall.
Exactly. But what an exciting time for them. I did have them both on to give them marriage advice.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah,
did you really?
I had Abby and True on not too long ago to give them marriage advice because I've never been married. So it was,
hey, that may be better.
And I know.
Right.
It was so good. I think, no, really, people emailed in some marriage advice for them. And so,
that's awesome.
They're probably not going to take any of it. But and we're going to talk a little bit about the switch over to news. Mm-hmm. And your family. And you're going to play Tied Down. We have to talk about the bachelor party. From what we remember, and
oh, gosh.
We do because it's unbelievable. Like even when I tell my mom, I go, "Mom, I drove Brian Mudd to his bachelor party."
Yeah, that was 20 years ago.
Yes,
oh,
and she's
gosh.
Like, "Oh, she did." My mom goes, "Oh, you drove him to the airport? How cool!"
Yeah,
I went, "No, I drove him to Rio Dosta.
That's where we went. Yeah,
yeah." That's all we had the money for.
Exactly. In those days.
And we barely had the money for that.
Yeah, we're still paying that off.
Yeah, exactly. So and I'm going to ask you a few other random assorted things, and who knows where we might go.
I'm here for you, brother.
Okay.
I'm an open book.
And I appreciate it. And so, but first and foremost, and I know if people watch the show, they know, but you did – you love the Red Raiders.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
a tech fan.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not where you went to school.
Not where I did my undergrad, no.
No. And I'm leaving that up to you to tell the folks,
sure.
all the Win, Lose, or Tie listeners out there, where'd you go to school? Where'd you get your undergrad from?
I went to Oklahoma State University in beautiful Stillwater, Oklahoma.
It is my second favorite college in the nation.
It should be. And you know why?
Why?
Because it is, I tell people this all the time, it is Texas Tech North.
Yes.
The same kind of kid goes there, the same kind of vibe on campus. If you switched all the kids in the middle of the night, it'd be 2 or 3 days before anyone noticed.
Right.
I mean, it that is exactly true.
Yes.
And because of that, you get a little extra rivalry there sometimes.
Sure.
But I'm telling you, it's the same school. And it was a very comfortable transition to come and stay here and fall in love with the Red Raiders because of that.
Right. And so that was easy for you. Yeah, and I see that because I've developed one of my best friends in the entire world. He is a surgeon up in Tulsa, and mm-hmm. I go see him all the time. Well, his kids, most of them graduated and went to Oklahoma State, and he did too. So we've gone to several Oklahoma State events.
Mm-hmm.
I've been over to Stillwater to go to games and sit in a box seat and, you know, that kind of stuff. And I'm just like, dude, I can root for this team.
Mm-hmm.
I can root for Oklahoma State. Just one game a year, I can't.
Right.
And I do. I find myself rooting for them.
Mm-hmm.
And Todd Johnson and Hunter Johnson and Hayden Johnson and Kelly Johnson and all the rest of the Johnsons are like, yay, Todd. They do. They love it when I come in because, hey, if they're not playing the Red Raiders, I'm all in.
Let's do it. Yeah.
I wear America's brightest orange, baby.
Right, right.
Isn't that what they say?
Yeah, uh-huh, that's exactly it.
That's America's brightest orange. And that's a shot directly at UT.
Well, sure. Yeah. And that's why they do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, in games when it's Tech and OSU, I'm wearing black. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of hiding and waiting it out. And then it's over and it's done and we'll move on to next week. Yeah, exactly. That's pretty much how I do that.
Yeah. But you do give you got to give David Collier shit because he went to OU and I mean you guys are on the set together, but you have it's like you're a Tech fan and you're an Oklahoma State fan, so that has to the double laser vision has got to go right through David Collier,
and he knows it, so he's always on the defensive and he's waiting for me to say something. When it comes up, he's just waiting for it. He's got about three replies ready to go at any one time, and we give it to him. But you know, and he's, but it's odd knowing that they're not going to be in the league anymore.
It's weird,
you know.
It is weird.
It's strange. I mean, yeah. I don't have a problem with it. You want to go to the SEC and deal with that, and knock yourself out.
Yeah,
take the money. But it's just strange knowing that you're not going to play that.
Here's what I go back to. I remember when I was, I don't know, I'm not going to tell you how old I was because I really honestly don't remember. But Spike Dykes had the greatest line ever when Arkansas left the Southwest Conference to go to the SEC. Mm-hmm. And he said, don't let the doorknob hit you in the ass on the way out.
Yeah.
So just don't let that happen.
It cracks me up that, you know, we'll play, you know, UT here in basketball and, you know, we win or lose or whatever. And their people are on Twitter or wherever complaining about calls and the fans. I'm like, dude, good luck on Tuscaloosa on a Saturday night thinking you're going to get a call there.
Yeah, no,
that's never going to happen.
Yeah,
I mean, congratulations on this deal.
Yeah.
Take your check.
Hey, you know what? You can make fun of us throwing tortillas, but at least we're not grown men shaking pom poms.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. And 100,000 of them.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
and that's going to be crazy. And so that's I kind of wanted to let the people know where you come from, but you do root for the Red Raiders.
Sure.
And now you have legitimate reasons because you're getting your master's.
I am a Red Raider at this point. I'm a fellow student to all the kids out there listening.
Yeah.
And I'm in the master's program. It's all online for me because I don't have time to, you know, go back and forth. But yeah, I'm working on that. I should be done, you know, knock wood, hopefully by Christmas. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
If I don't throw the laptop through the window and go, but by Christmas, I should be done there. And then we'll see, you know, maybe I'll teach a little.
That's impressive to do that. Number one. So yeah, I'm thoroughly impressed to do that. That's awesome. You're back in school. Before we turned the mics on, you were like, dude, I was doing keg stands last night.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you were telling me.
Right, right.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't say that on the air.
Blasted into the sorority party, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Unannounced. like that's never happened. Back My wife's like, wait a minute, where were you last night?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Oh, sure. She knows where you were.
Yeah.
I promise.
Yeah.
She knows where you were.
Yeah.
So, but okay, so you get a degree in journalism. And was anchoring, did you want to be a reporter? That's where most people start anyway.
Yeah.
In the news business. Did you want to be a reporter like a Bert Romolo type, like a, you know, kind of one of those guys, like, you know, I want to get the story, or was your aim to be on the desk?
At the beginning, I had no expectations of anything. I mean, it was just going to go where it went. Because it was still such a work in progress. When I got to Oklahoma State, I went in as a mechanical engineering major. For lack of a better explanation, Scotty from Star Trek, engineer, fly, go places, do things. That was going to be me. I would go someplace else and do an aeronautical or aerospace engineering master's, go from there, get to work, go to NASA, fly and be Scotty from Star Trek
and go
to Mars. And we're going to fly the ship and do all the things and build the things there as we go. There was a guy who came in and spoke to some of us by the end of my freshman year.
Yeah.
And he had worked for NASA and he had gone on to another company. I don't remember where. And he was talking about the state of the space program at that point being just in flux. They were dedicated to the space shuttle and the ISS. They weren't really going anywhere. It's a lot of repetitive type of things. And a lot of people were disillusioned. And I'm like, and I'm sitting there in the crowd going, wait a minute. They're not going to be able to do what I want to do. And he talked about even private space industry that was still decades away. I'm like, I'm going to be a 60-year-old guy with all these dreams and work toward all these things and have nothing really to go and do at any point. Man. And so I'm disillusioned. And my roommate at the time, one of my best friends still, we are literally on watching the news. Uh-huh. And the sports segment comes on.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know what you need to do is that. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Really?
For real. And, really? And he's like, yeah, because he was a film major. He's in the same department. Uh-huh. And so he's like, no, this is what you need to do. He decided for me right then and there, this is what you need to do. I'm like, you're crazy. Because it was never on the radar or anything like that. And so he says, tomorrow or whatever day, I'm going to take you down. I'm going to introduce you to X and Y and Z, and we're going to figure this out.
I'm like, oh. Is that right?
Yeah. And I don't know what today, I don't know whether to hug him or hit him, but I went down there and met some people and okay, this could be interesting and this could be kind of fulfilling. And so I was just going to be a sports guy of some kind. Radio was the first love, but you couldn't pay the bills doing it. And so it was TV and or nothing. Yeah. So
when I had John Sparks on a few weeks ago, right at the beginning of the year, I'll never forget the very first class I ever took in broadcast journalism, John Sparks, it was intro to journalism, whatever. Mm-hmm. And John Sparks goes, listen, if you want to do this, there's three things you got to get used to. Okay. And you got to get used to them for the rest of your life. And that's Motel 6, instant coffee, and Schaefer beer. Because that's all you're going to be able to afford.
Yeah.
And he wasn't wrong.
No.
Folks, I want you to know when you're watching local television, like your KMAX and whatever, mm-hmm. whatever, those reporters are living off nothing.
Yeah.
And you really don't, I mean, even the anchors are living off, I mean, not to say you're living off nothing.
Yeah.
You're doing well for yourself.
I do well for Lubbock. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the goal is to constantly move up. Mm-hmm. And when I say move up, moving up cities.
Yeah.
Man, every city is a stepping stone until you get to one of these, you know, right. whatever they call it, the top whatever.
Yeah.
But
your Dallas's and Houston's of the world.
Of the world.
Yeah. Right,
exactly. So, you know, but so you wanted to do sports. Where was your first job out of you graduate from Oklahoma State, pistols firing, and where do you go?
My first job. I worked about a year at Remington Park Horse Track in Oklahoma City.
No way.
Yeah. During the horse racing season, we did 8 30-minute shows a week out of there. And nightly recaps and the whole thing.
All dedicated to horse racing.
Yeah. And what was going on there and the horses and the owners and the jockeys and all kinds of things. And that was a real eye-opening experience just on the technical details of what makes good TV. Mm-hmm. I was there about a year, got a job. In the newsroom again, in Victoria, which there are times it's so small, it's not even a market listed, but it's between, you know, sort of between, Corpus Christi and Houston. Tiny okay. place.
Yeah.
If you're going to go down there and learn and screw it up, that's the place. Cause no one's going to see it.
Yes.
And we did.
Yeah.
Dramatic. I made $12,500.
Okay. Now let me ask, let me back up real quick.
Yeah.
So are you married?
No, not yet. Okay. I actually met my first wife there in Victoria.
Okay, my first wife. Okay, yeah. I got you. Okay,
the first Sherry.
But that is crazy that it doesn't even register. Like
sometimes,
I mean, I know you can find a job open. There's ways to if you're going to be a sports guy, the weekend guy, whatever. There's ways to find jobs and know where openings are, but. Damn, Victoria, Texas.
Yeah. It was so hard to get jobs in those days because every job, there were dozens and dozens.
Was the sports center just hit and that's right. what everybody wanted to do.
Yes. And so everyone decides they want to be a sports guy. And so you're getting news directors get dozens and dozens and dozens of actual physical tapes in those days from people all over the place.
Yeah.
And it was almost impossible to just get noticed.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I felt kind of fortunate to be in that place just to get a start because you just wanted to get a foot in the door.
Yeah.
and then see.
And that way, and when you say tapes, and they're called resume tapes,
mm-hmm.
and you really are, it's your resume. It's like sitting in your resume, but it's on video.
Yeah, yeah, and, you know, and there were different formats, but you know, a lot of VHS tapes.
Yes,
that you had a master, and you made like three dozen dubs, and you sent them all over the country.
And what's crazy is, you know, the news station. This is what's funny. You the news stations are open. You have a key to get in anytime you want when you work there.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you see that car there at 3 a.m. somebody's in there working on their resume tape, you know, because
right.
they don't want the boss to see that, right. Hey, I'm looking to move.
And every once in a while, of course, now it's all digital. So, yeah, you know, there's no tapes. And the kids have their own websites and you just send them out that way or YouTube channels or whatever else.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, you get the directive that goes through, okay, all the servers are filling up. You got to delete all your resume stuff and get it out of there.
Yeah. If you're working on it, get
right,
it out of there.
Right.
That's funny. So Victoria, learning experience, huh?
Very much so on a lot of things. And a lot of it was, again, I didn't have a lot of expectations on what I wanted to do. I'm just trying to get started and do good work and then we'll just see.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody has dreams of doing things, mm-hmm. but you know, who knows? So, I just tried to do the best work I could.
Yeah.
Were you the
anchor? Were you the director? I mean, sports director?
No. They had a guy who'd been there for a long time. I did the weekends and actually did some news feature stories during the week,
uh-huh.
and then sports as needed, mm-hmm. And then anchor the sports shows on the weekends.
Right.
And it's just I was just grateful for the job. And I remember the very first day, and they just throw you the wolves because you know, it's like here, good luck, sink or swim. And I'm so nervous. I'm sweating to a point. It looks like someone has put a hose on the top of my head and I'm just pouring sweat. And I'm shaking so bad. I'm grabbing onto the desk like I'm about to screw up my whole life right here. But you made it. We made it through. I talked way too fast. We made it through.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh. And the woman who I married, well, it's another long story, but she was working there. And she literally, right before the show comes up to me, she's like, the first words she ever said to me are like, are you okay?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, no.
No. It is so funny because I felt the same way when I anchored.
Mm-hmm.
I felt the same way as Saturday night. Christy Harton mm-hmm. is on with me. But here's the difference between you and me. My family was having a watch party.
Oh,
I mean, yeah. Everybody I know lived. I mean, you know, nobody in Victoria. So
right.
It's just
right.
Like,
if I'm gonna mess it up, we'll mess it up.
Nobody's gonna know.
I mean,
people were like, and I butchered it. It was bad. Oh, it was bad. So yeah, the watch party I think ended before I got there because I was like, I'm not going to that.
Everybody get out of here.
But, yeah, exactly. But that's funny. But from Victoria, where do you move on to?
Went to Abilene. To work as my first director's job, sort of running the shop there.
Yeah.
And that was a real reclamation project. The guy who had been there before me was just a lazy bum. And they had no reputation in town at all in their sports shop. So it was really a rebuilding process to try to get some sort of credibility back there. And that was another real learning experience about how to deal with the public and deal with coaches and try to win the hearts and minds of people.
Yes.
Even at a time when more people were watching or wanted to watch
right.
local news and sports. So real
quick, was the guy before you named Mark Kennedy?
Greg
Miller is going to love
that.
Oh,
I know.
Yeah.
But if there's a lower status than that, That was that.
That's where he was.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was unbelievable.
That's pretty low.
Yeah.
So, but Abilene, man, to be the sports director there and to kind of build mm-hmm. that up.
Yeah.
And, man, that's impressive.
And trying to bring that back around.
Yeah.
And I was married at that point and we were trying to decide what we wanted to do because we had a couple of offers. Do we want to stay? Do we want to go someplace else? And we kind of thought we wanted to work our way up the East Coast. So I take an offer in Greenville, North Carolina. Sounded great. I do weekends, but they had already made a switch and they didn't know what they were going to do about their main job still. So there was a chance of moving up there. And, so we went there for a little while and it turned out to be the worst job decision I've ever made in my life.
You're kidding.
They literally lied to me about what I would be doing. And admitted so after I got there.
That's the worst.
Yeah, we really just wanted to get you in here to help us out. So yeah, you're already signed the deal. So you're here. That the worst.
They kind of got you by the balls.
Yeah, exactly. And it was the worst. So I said, well, look, it's a couple of years. I'm going to do the best work I can. We're going to get the heck out of here.
Yeah.
And see where it goes. And I probably did some of the best work I've done in TV there.
Really?
And just.
Well, it's as a motivating factor. If anything.
Yeah, exactly. And that was part of it. And it was just awful experience, awful management, awful situation. The main sports director guy was just a piece of work.
What's his name? Greg Miller.
Greg Miller is an upgrade on everybody and everything. Okay. Greg's the best. This guy was not Greg Miller.
Okay.
Thank God. But I don't even know whatever happened to him. And I don't really care. But anyway, so
yeah.
it was just a bad, but we tried to do the best we could. And long story short, I kept getting callbacks from all these bigger markets, and I'd make the top two or three or four in their deal, but I'd never get the job. I'd always say, well, the other guy was closer. You know, we wouldn't have had to spend as much to move him. He knew the area a little bit better.
BS decision.
Oh,
that's a BS reason.
Well, and you know what? Whatever. But it was just.
It might be legit reason. Yeah, I'm just saying.
It's just soul crusher after a while. And so I ended up getting working with a headhunter. And I said, just get me back to this part of the world,
right,
where we are, you know, in Oklahoma, Texas, somewhere in there,
right,
closer to family. Let's just reboot. And you know, long story short, she called and said, "What about Lubbock?" I said, "Okay, sounds good to me." I'd been here a couple times when I worked in Abilene. I kind of, you know, I knew where it was.
Hey, D1 school.
Yeah, plenty to talk about. And so I said, "Sure." And I figured, you know, I'm here a couple years. We can reset, and then we can decide what we want to do.
Yeah.
Well. First of all, people are great. Everyone at Tech is great. The situation at 11, you know, Pete had left and gone to Philadelphia,
Back to Philly.
Yeah. Philly. Mm-hmm. And so I'm taking his spot. And so it's a pretty good situation. I'm thinking, maybe we do stay a while. Mm-hmm. I end up getting divorced. So that was that. And, you know, I have two small boys. I wasn't going to leave them. Mm-hmm. So now the everything starts to shift in this mode of, well, you know what? This is home now.
Yes.
And so what do we want to do?
Better not screw it up.
Yeah. Don't screw this up, and think of this as more of a long-term thing.
Yeah.
Which was easy because, you know, people here are great.
Yeah. So a lot of people wonder this, and it is a thing, and it's a real thing that happens because we have a friend in common that this happened with of your name. Do you change your name to be more friendly on air?
Yeah.
And Vinny, our friend Vinny,
right,
is very open about Vinzetta is not his.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
Right.
But it sounds cool.
It is. It is cool.
And it is cool. So I mean, I want to ask you if that's okay to ask.
Sure. You can ask me anything.
Is Brian Mudd, is Mudd the last name?
It is my actual last name. Yes.
That is awesome.
That's the number one question I get.
Really?
Yeah. And I always say the same thing. You know, if you were going to change it to something, wouldn't it be like Rambo or something tough and cool? You know what I'm saying? It wouldn't be. The first choice would probably not be Mud. But yeah, that's it. But I will tell you, I have another name.
Uh-huh.
And that's not legal. Sort of legal.
Okay.
I'm adopted.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I actually met my birth mom in 2008. She's great. Yeah.
We could do a story on that.
Oh.
We could do a whole podcast on that.
Yeah. And you should with whoever. Because they're great stories.
I could have you and Vinny.
The same thing. Yeah. She's great. But I did not know this at the time, but they had to fill out an initial birth certificate before it was redone by my new parents. And so my actual very first name is Chris Minard.
Man, I'm glad you got adopted.
it's kind of basic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris, Brian Mudd is, I look at you and I see Brian Mudd.
Right.
Yeah. That's so much better. So,
yeah.
So so I remember, man, in Channel 11, this is when I was kind of high school, college, getting there, the Mud Man.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I was a little bit further out of college, but was that that marketing, was that you that did that, or was
no.
that, was that Dan? I mean, what not, I mean, you're not saying names. I'm saying, yeah. was that a sit down, let's do the Mud Man?
That actually originated in North Carolina.
Oh, it did? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because
I love it.
The girl who was the weekend anchor from the first day started calling me Mudman's coming in next with sports.
Gotcha.
And I just off the cuff from her. And she was fun like that. And they jumped on it, their promotions partner jumped on it, did a whole ad campaign that went over really well.
Nice.
There. And so it just sort of stuck.
Yeah.
And they saw all that on my reels, and they decided we want to do the same thing.
Yeah.
And so it just stuck from there.
Yeah. Man, that's I think it's awesome. And I mean, I thought it was awesome back then.
Yeah.
Like Mud Man, I was like,
you have your own logo. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. Yeah. It kind of helps.
It's a self promo, but you can just blame. You're like, no, it's not my ego. The station's doing it.
Yeah.
If you wanted to say that, you
it's
know?
Part of the pro. Yeah. It's part of the process of things. Yeah.
Because my whole PR team is me promoting me. Yeah, and if you've never heard this show before, the podcast is really about me. So, you know, it's win, lose, or tie.
Right.
So
and your friends and your experiences, and then relates to other people. And you know what? I think it's perfect, by the way.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate that. But I love to have interesting people on and talk to cool people like you. And so this transition to sports, and then you move over. When you left KCBD Channel 11, did you move to a news role, or did you go to I think it was to a sports role.
Yeah, I moved to a sports role.
At KMAC.
Yeah, well, at KLBK initially.
KLBK
when they had done the merger thing. And,
right,
and,
okay.
And so originally it was on the KLBK side.
Yeah.
But they, you know, and it. I tell people all the time, you know, why did you, people still ask, why did you leave 11? Mm-hmm. Money.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I had two boys at some point I was going to have to put through college.
Yeah.
And they wanted to pay their sports people X amount.
Yeah, you telling me. I know.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. And the other place was going to pay Y amount.
Right.
And that's really what it boils down to.
Yeah.
And so I had to sit, you know, they have a non-compete clause, so for 6 months I had to do some other things. And that was fine. And so we did that, and you know this, I'm an independent contractor, basically.
Yeah, sure.
And they buy to us to use our services, and they pay us X amount for what we do.
Right.
Just like you would hire a plumber to come in the house.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Yeah, and so, yeah, it comes down to money.
And you know what's funny? Somebody asked me a long time ago, they were like, so when you're at Channel 11, whenever I was at Channel 11, so you're the NBC guy, so you just go to NBC stations everywhere. I'm like, listen, I wanted to tell people, listen to me, listen. NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, that means nothing to anybody that's in the new local news world.
Right.
I mean, that, of course, you're proud of, you know,
right,
what your station does, this, that, and the third, but I mean, you could have Oprah on one station, and then you move to Oklahoma City, and Oprah is on the NBC affiliate.
Right.
So really, you don't. I mean, man, it's just like
that stuff. It really doesn't play into what we do.
And it's hard for people to understand that. They're like, really? Mm-hmm. That's really crazy. And I'm like, yeah, it's kind of the way it works.
And it's crazy that there's no real set resume that you have to get a job.
Right.
It's whether they happen to like you for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Like I can be up for a job in one of the places. It was Buffalo, New York, a main gig. And then I could get somebody in tiny, you know, nowhere, Kansas, who send me a rejection letter and say, you're terrible. You shouldn't even be in this business.
Yes.
There's no accomplishments to be had. I've known people who won an Emmy on a Friday night and was fired Monday morning.
Yeah. See that
in this business.
Yeah.
And that's just the way this stuff goes.
Right.
And
right.
there's no resume that wins you anything.
Gotcha. Okay. So now we're making a big move here.
Yeah.
Right now in your career, you're going to go be a news anchor.
Yeah.
But also that is a financial decision as well.
Yeah.
Because I'm answering the question for you, but that had to play a part of it.
Sure.
Because it's just a fact. The sports is on last for a reason.
One, there's a reason because, well, you've got to get in scores and it's the, you know, you might be pushing it.
Right.
You don't want to be first because then you might not get the final scores.
Yeah, unless something crazy is happening. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
But news is where there is that, you know, there's a reason the news director watches the A block and then, you know.
Right. Well, weather people will tell you weather is where it's at.
Well, okay.
And that's probably true.
And here, more than anything. And here in this part of the world. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
It
so.
Is. But you know,
and I have a whole section of questions for Ron Roberts. I mean, about Ron Roberts. So we're going to get there.
That's a whole highway.
And we're going to go down that here in just a second. But really, when you moved over to news, talk about that process.
The first time I ever really thought about it was I was at KLBK, and I was putting the show together on a random like Tuesday night or something, and I'm looking at all this. I'm like, this all looks so familiar. And I looked back about a year earlier, just in the archives, and I had written almost word for word the same thing.
Yeah.
And there's obviously a lot of that happens anyway, but I'm like, where am I going here? I mean, what am I doing? I'm losing focus and creativity because of the kind of repetition. And I don't like living like that.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking, well, maybe I need to do something else. And plus, my boys, Tanner and Peyton, were the greatest. They were starting to get to that age where they're playing baseball on the weekends and football on the weekends. And I don't want to be on the road.
Two great kids, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two great kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Olivia now my daughter runs the world, and that's a whole other
highway. And she's a great kid, too, but because Sherry, I mean, we can talk about them in a minute.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I don't want to be on the road with Tech on a football weekend when my kids are playing home.
Yeah.
And so now you're sort of facing the reality of, am I going to keep doing this? Am I going to get out of the business and do something else? Yeah. What am I going to do? Well, right about that same time, they decided to cut loose the anchor who was on KLBK, not renew his contract. And they had hired somebody and made a little announcement. And then the next day that somebody came back and said, you know what? I changed my mind. No thanks.
Wow.
And so they're kind of in limbo. Yeah. And Becky Neighbors, who was the anchor at the time on KLBK, said, you know what? You got a guy right down the hall who'd be perfect for this. And he's thinking about making a change anyway.
Yeah.
And so they came to me. I'm like, well, okay. And you read for it. Mm-hmm. Basically an audition one sees. And so you do a newscast as you would do a newscast. And it went pretty well. And they sent it up to the focus groups and the people who want to watch, you know, to see what they think. And everybody gave it the thumbs up. And as I tell people, they offered me twice the money to do half the physical work. And I'm like, well, if I gotta. but that's a joke, but it's kind of true.
Right.
Because, you know, the physical work involved in being a sports guy, because it's all, it's all you.
Yes.
News, you got a lot of help.
You're not going out shooting the news and then coming back and then reading the news.
Right.
You know, in sports, you're going out with a camera and you're shooting the actual sports. And then you're coming back, writing the copy, editing the tapes, and then going out and reading it.
Right.
I mean, it really is from you watch the sausage being made from beginning to end when you're in sports.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you do some of that because you do your own stories and do things, but it's a different, whole different vibe, obviously. And that solves the problems. A new chance to be creative in a different way, do new things, because I don't like being
stagnant
and stuck in things in my life. But a chance to be creative in different ways. Be home more to see my kids, make a little more money. Mm. Why not?
I don't see the downside.
Right. There was no downside.
Other than if you have just this extreme passion for sports.
Sure.
Which we all do in a way, but in a weird way, if I was in your shoes, it'd be like, I might get to enjoy sports more.
Exactly. I could go be a fan.
Yeah.
You know, because you have in the press box and all things at football games, you can't cheer. You can't do anything bananas.
Yeah.
You know, because you're supposed to be, you know, professional, whatever, buttoned up. And I want to be like, yeah, you suck, you know, and yell at the other team.
I do too.
Yeah. So, it solved a ton of problems. It's a God thing. It's right at the exact time I needed it to happen. And it's turned out. It really has turned out.
And I'm going to tell you right now, you are – You're one of the few guys I look at. If I look at sports people, and I go, can that guy move over to news, or that girl move over to news? And very few can do it and transitionally make that transition automatic.
It comes the other way sometimes. You get your occasional news people who come and can do sports, but it doesn't really go the other way a lot.
You're exactly right. Yeah. And Brian, you do it now. I mean, I'm not sitting here blowing smoke. I'm sitting here doing, you do it really well.
Thank you.
You do it really, really, really well. And that's funny because I have questions about that. But I want to, before we do that, I want to get to, let's talk about Sherry.
Okay.
Because this is really what I wanted to talk about, because she's beautiful and she's great and I love her. And the show should just be about her.
We could do one just about her.
Yeah. And
she's an interesting and awesome person.
And so, can you tell me just a little bit of your story, how you guys met? Yeah.
she hates this story, but I'm going to tell it anyway.
Nobody's listening.
Oh, yeah. There's no way. So I'd been divorced for, I don't know, February, end of May. So whatever that time frame is, right around the end of May. And I'm working out at Body Works because I'm an old guy of 32, and I'm thinking, with two kids and just divorced, I'm thinking, who in the world is ever going to want to go out with me? Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to at least do what I can to get buff again. And I'm going into Body Works, and there behind the desk is this working, because she's a grad student at Tech, was working for some extra cash, is this beautiful blonde. And she is just like turning the light on in a dark room. This is exactly the vision you get when you walk in to see her.
Yeah.
So I flirt with her for a couple of days because, you know.
Yeah.
And the second day I come in and I'm on my elliptical doing my thing, and I look over, and this is a bad 80s movie moment, but I swear, my hand to God, this happened.
Okay.
The light is coming through the glass in the front window of the building, and she's in between me and the glass and the light. And it bounces off of all that blonde hair and creates this like halo looking thing around her. And she's talking to somebody, big bright smile, and the world kind of slows down for a moment. And somewhere you hear the harps and the angels singing. Yes. I'm like, yeah. And exactly, that is the exact bad 80s movie moment. But I swear to you, it happened. And I'm looking at her like, whoa. And this is God smacking you upside the head. It's like, don't screw this up.
Yeah.
And I was not ready to be with someone. My first marriage had gone bad, and I was a wreck.
Yeah.
Absolute wreck.
For sure.
And she's finishing up grad school. She's 9 years younger than I am. She's going to go from being, you know, party fun college experience person to a married mother of two overnight.
Yeah.
And not just married, but married to a guy who was broken. And she had to deal with all that, and she did. She literally saved my life.
Man.
But that's how we met, and she actually did something. She was the actual really instigator after that, though, because right after that, we had to go. I was still doing sports. We had to go to Houston because Tech was playing Rice in the NCAA tournament, the baseball team. Mm-hmm. So I was gone for a week. More or less. And she noticed I had not been in, did what she was not supposed to do, and dug into the personal files of the people who were working at Body Works. And hope any of you people are listening, because that's illegal probably. So she calls the house. And Vinny Vanzetta, we talked about, who was rooming with me at the time, yeah, post-divorce.
I lived with Vinny.
I think most people have lived with Vinny at one point in time. Yeah, but... And I'm at work, and he answers the phone because he happened to be off that day. He's like, oh, yeah, he was asking if I knew who you were. He says, yeah, he's going to want to hear from you. She gives him the number to the sports office at KLBK. Mm-hmm. Phone rings. It's her. Hey, this is Sherry at Body Works. Just trying to check on you because you haven't been in a while. I wanted to see you.
Shut up, man.
And I'm like,
shut up, man.
How you doing?
Are you serious?
Yeah. And so I said, well, what do you do when you get off of work? I get off work later. We went to Fox and the Hound, which is now Table 82 in Lubbock.
Yep.
And that was the first date, and we've been together ever since.
Oh, that is,
Man, that's a great story.
Yeah.
It is an 80s movie.
It's a bad 80s movie.
Ready to be made.
Mm-hmm. But that's it. And she is one of the smartest, sharpest humans that I have ever met.
Yep.
And I agree.
And
right now she's the general sales manager at the stations that came out in KLBK. Mm-hmm. And probably more big things to come for her because she's just so good at what she does.
Yeah. She's fantastic.
And she's, you know, she's an A-plus person. I'm very, very fortunate because she was what I needed exactly at the time I needed it.
Right. And then you guys have this beautiful girl named Olivia.
Yeah. And she's, she's 17 now and her junior year of high school, and it's her world and we're all just living in it. Yeah. So that's kind of how that goes.
Where does she goes?
She goes to Trinity Christian
right
now.
I knew that because I wanted to make sure,
I
know that, but I wanted to make sure.
Yeah. I'll tell you this.
She goes to school with my niece, Remy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that's been great. But I'll tell you that next year she's going to go down to New Home. For her senior year.
Nothing wrong with that.
And we were all kind of surprised when she wanted to do this, but she is also a new challenges type of person.
I wonder where she gets that.
probably not from me, but she's good at lots of things and she wanted to do something different and something new. And so she's going to, and my oldest son, Tanner, is a coach and teaches down there. Mm-hmm. So we kind of knew everybody in the situation. And
you know what you're getting into.
Right.
Yeah.
So instead of paying to Trinity, we'll pay to go down there and I think it'll be great.
Good for her, man. That's awesome.
She wanted a challenge of meeting new people and doing new things before she went off to college and had to do the same thing. And she did not want that to be so jarring when she went to college.
Yeah.
Basically is the reason. And
you know what? That to me, I look at that and I go, that is a mature decision for a 17-year-old.
And brave.
At the same time,
to do
exactly
something
right.
new at that
man,
time.
That is that's fantastic.
So we couldn't tell her no.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. so your wedding was a big deal, not for me. Okay, your wedding was a big deal for me.
Yeah.
Okay. Because listen, Greg Miller's going to the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Emily Jones is going to the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's only one person left in our sports office, and it's me. And I want to go to the wedding. So you timed it. I don't know, but it's in between the 6 and the 10 o'clock news.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in early, wrote all the copy, was in my suit the whole time, went and shot a high school baseball game.
In your suit?
Yes. Came back.
I didn't know that.
Came back, edited it together. Threw in a couple of stories that I'd prepackaged or whatever,
right.
Just you know,
to get out the door.
Yeah. Boom, 6:30, I'm out the door, flying down the road. I make it
mm-hmm.
to the wedding. Okay, now since I no longer work there at KCBD, I only make it to the wedding. I get to be part of the reception. So I am part of the reception, mm-hmm. and I am down in them like there's nothing, no tomorrow.
You and everybody else.
Dude.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that tab.
Oh.
Dude, I was down them, and I've still got to do the 10. So, and so you know what I did? I had the camera in the car, drove straight over to the Coliseum, shot some hockey, Lubbock Cotton Kings hockey.
Yeah.
Got back to the station at about 10, after 10.
Oh, no.
Just copied and pasted. I mean, dude, I'm total mail-in job.
Mm.
Just pasted everything I'd done at 6, threw in the hockey highlights, off the air, made it back to the reception.
Oh, man.
Dude, that was the biggest deal. I was like, dude, I just pulled off a miracle.
That is a miracle. And dedication, too, man. That's why I love you, brother. Yeah. That's serious business.
And I want to get to the bachelor party, but before we get to the bachelor party, you know what's coming. That sound means one thing and one thing only, and that is Tied Down, baby. We're about to play Tied Down with Brian Mudd.
Woo.
We are about to play Tied Down with Brian Mudd. Brian, I want you to know I have a list of questions right here.
Yes, sir.
For the people that have never listened to this show, which is three, Tied Down is a game I play with all my guests, and it's five questions. I stole that from Craig Kilborn, but he's no longer doing that anymore. So five questions. There are right and wrong answers to every question.
Okay.
Okay. And I hand out the points irresponsibly.
Mm-hmm.
You can win. You can lose. If I feel you need a bonus question, you will have one. Okay.
Okay.
If I feel you, that you've done enough to win, we will stop. Now, listen, I will start the game, but we will not go over the answers until the game is over.
Fair enough.
Okay.
All right.
Just to, I'm really talking to the people.
Okay.
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 So here is, this is, and when I say tied down, I hope that people get the pun there. It's
right.
T-Y-E apostrophe D.
Apostrophe D, yeah.
Yeah. And the people kind of feel tied down because I'm telling you, there are people, Abby Robertson
mm-hmm.
sat in this chair and goes, I am so nervous about tied down. I saw Jet Buchanan freeze up. Jet Buchanan's a pilot.
Right, right.
Jet Buchanan froze in his seat playing tied down.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Now, see, now I was cool with it. Now, I don't know what's coming.
Here. Hey, Chris Level lost.
Yeah.
So, Jamie Berryhill's lost. People have lost. So, I'm just telling you.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Here we go. Chris, I almost said Chris Level. Brian Mudd, you are tied down officially right now. Are you ready?
Go.
Okay. Number one, I'm going to give you 15 seconds. What's the only state in the United States to start with the letter R?
Rhode Island.
Number two, what's the best donut?
Krispy Kreme.
More specific.
Oh, I'm a glazed donut fan. Yeah.
Number three, what's the best Rocky movie?
Four.
Number four, what was the best part of your bachelor party?
Ty King taking me there.
Number five, best way to prepare a steak?
Medium rare. Reverse sear, medium rare.
Number six, there is a correct answer here. A sedan, an SUV, or a pickup truck?
Pickup.
Number, these are bonus. That was a bonus question.
Oh.
You need another bonus question.
Okay.
I need you to name a college mascot, and there's a correct, there's a bonus, there's an answer that you'll get bonus question, bonus points for.
Okay, okay.
Okay. But I need you to name a college mascot that is not a person or an animal.
Stanford Cardinal.
Okay. Stop the clocks. Oh. Stop all the clocks. You have made it through.
Man.
All right. Now we're going to go through.
Okay.
What's the only state in the United States to start with R? Rhode Island, and you came up with it quickly.
Ding.
Now, I mean, you got that right.
I don't know how, but okay.
Yeah, you did. Nervous. That was impressive.
Yeah. Okay.
What's the best donut? And you said Krispy Kreme. And however, I do agree with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I want it more specific. You said glazed.
I'm a glazed donut guy. Yeah.
And that does give you a right answer because I put apple fritter or glazed.
Oh, okay, okay.
So
I do like me a good apple fritter, too.
Yeah, and yeah. I mean, and if you want to, if I promise you, the answer is right here, apple fritter or glazed.
Wow.
Number three, best Rocky movie. The correct answer you said was what?
Four.
I put on here four.
Wow.
We beat Russia.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
We saved the world.
He did not break him.
Did not break you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
If he dies, he dies.
He dies.
Yes. Okay. Now, listen, you've gotten four in a row, so you've already qualified really as a winner, but I'll not tell you how many points you have right now.
Okay.
Okay. Number five. Best way to prepare a steak, you went medium rare reverse sear.
Mm-hmm.
I just went medium, so you're wrong.
Wow.
Number six, I said sedan, SUV, pickup truck. I should have known you drove a pickup truck.
Mm-hmm.
It is SUV.
Oh.
College mascot that's not a person or an animal, Stanford Cardinal, is correct.
Yes, thank you. Tulane
Green Wave was the bonus one.
Oh,
I would just like to let you know, and because this sound right here means you have won, Brian Mudd. You have won today on Tied Down. So the rest of your day is just going to be great. Let me tell you what you've won.
Defining moment.
There are bracelets and koozies there, win, lose, or tie.
Oh,
you get to take your pick. Yes.
I'm taking the koozie.
No, you could take them all.
Take them all.
Yeah. They're all for you, man.
What an...
I mean, just... Dude,
I feel like I should give a speech thanking the Academy and, hey, and all
you,
that.
I'm going to give you, I'll play you out. I'll play music off if you want to thank some people.
This is one of the greatest moments of my life. It really is. I feel undeserving, but very proud at this moment.
Good deal. All right. We've gotten through Todd down. All right. Let's talk about the bachelor party real quick.
Oh, okay. Can we?
So this is the most uneventful and, but yet eventful bachelor party I've ever been to. Now, can I want to let the listeners know that I've never listened. I have been in 21 weddings. And when I say that, 21 means I've been a bachelor. I've been a groomsman.
Yeah.
I've never been a bachelor. I've been a groomsman. I've been a best man. And that's what I'm counting. Mm-hmm. I've never been a, I've been an usher. I'm not counting those. So I've been a groomsman or a best man 21 times. And I found out earlier this month, announced on the show, breaking news, ooh, I am going to be in the True and Abby wedding.
Oh, nice.
In a new position that I've never had before. I am the ring bearer.
Shut up.
I promise.
That's awesome.
I am the ring bearer, and I don't know what's going to happen, but yes.
That, whatever it is, it'll be epic.
It's going to be awesome.
Oh, yes. That's perfect.
I can't wait. So, there goes that. But your bachelor party, okay, we get the guys together. Well, first off, Greg Miller and I got on our knees and begged and begged and begged and begged Emily to work the weekend.
That was a thing.
And give her credit because, well, first off, she had to work with us and it was hard because Greg and I became friends and we lived with Vinny and Vinny worked for a different station, you know, and
it was a thing.
She was put in a tough spot.
Right.
But we wanted to, and so we went to Ruidoso. Okay.
And I'll preface this by saying,
yes,
Sherry was all for it, but there was an absolute mandate that none of the things that you would regularly think about with a bachelor party, and you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
None of those things could happen.
And none of them did.
And none of them did.
And it really wasn't even, it wasn't even, there was no opportunity to do that.
No, no.
And nor was any of us in, we weren't in, we didn't earn into that. And the third or fourth reason, we didn't have the money for that.
That's true too. Yeah. So, none of us were, yeah. I mean, we were all poor on that deal. So,
exactly. We had the money to go to the horse races.
Right.
And we had the money to go to the casino.
Right.
And that's what we did.
Right.
But you rode in my Ford Explorer with me. And I was like, dude, I have the bachelor, Brian Mudd, rode with me the whole way. There's no cruise control on this thing. I don't, you know, we got there. Yeah. And I remember I wanted to go off-roading into the mountains by our cabin. You know, and I was like, dude, let's just go off-roading. And you guys were like, in what?
Yeah.
And I go, dude, the Blue Bomber is right there.
The Blue Bomber would not have made it in some of those, but yeah.
No. Yeah. It was a good decision on our part. We had a few, okay?
Yeah, right.
And some had more than others, so we went to the go-kart track. This is my favorite story about the whole thing.
I should admit that, but yeah.
This is my favorite story of the whole Baxter party, okay? We have all of a sudden have developed some sort of a love with NASCAR, and I don't know why. I'm out of that phase, but I loved Kevin Harvick, and we go to the go-kart track, and we're at the go-kart track, and I'm sure we smell like everybody had done a keg stand, and
prefaces by saying again, for importance, we'd had a few. Yeah.
Yes. We'd had a few, and we made it, we had a safe driver to the go-kart track.
Right.
And I don't remember who that was, but okay, so we're going to race.
Yeah. And this was not a gentle ride around the track.
No, this was rubbing is racing, and we could have been arrested. We should have been arrested for the racing that we were doing. I don't know. There was nothing at stake other than pure pride, but we got kicked off the track for being too drunk to drive.
The operators of the go-kart track were not pleased with us at all.
They said, we made one race, and then they went, you guys are done.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. No more.
You have to leave now.
Yes. Yes. We got kicked out of the go-kart track.
Oh, my gosh. It was intense.
It was intense.
It was intense.
Dude, we were trying so hard. I was like, oh, man. You know, I was, I mean, I, for For a good 4 minutes of my life, I was Kevin Harvick.
For that moment.
I was, man. I was Cole Trickle. You know, I mean, you know what I'm saying? At a Days of Thunder. I was just, dude, it was great.
And we were all, you know, gas to the floor and trying to get corners and cut people off and run guys off the track. Oh, it was awesome.
I mean, maybe even trying to go over the bumpers to take a shortcut.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, dude, it was unbelievable how much fun I had, though. And then we went to the horse races, and Greg Miller and I can, I mean, which is a common theme when we go to a casino. We lost our asses off, and everybody's ready to go. And we didn't know that you could bet on more races on the TVs when you're walking out.
Yeah, yeah.
Greg and I go, we've got to bet on one more race. One more, and y'all all were like, dudes, stop. And we won our money back on a TV.
On one random race from like Louisiana or some deal.
And it's on TV. Yeah. And we won that race, and we won our money back. It was amazing. And basically, we stayed at the cabin, we cooked a bunch, and we drank a bunch, and we had a great time.
It had a great time. It was just a dudes hanging out weekend, and it was chill, and it was. I told you guys afterwards, it was the single, one of the best things in my life I've ever done. I mean, that whole thing. Because I was a little nervous because, you know, look.
Hey.
I don't want to make Sherry mad with something that happens, and because we're right before the wedding, and I'm like, I just want to get through this cleanly. And you guys were just great.
Well,
I cannot tell you how much I still appreciate all that.
It was a great time, and I had a blast. Now, I did not have such a good time driving home.
Well,
I don't know if I felt all for that the great, above. And I'll tell you right now, man, I still think, and I've been to 1,000 bachelor parties, man. Mm-hmm. That still is one of the best ones I've been to because of that.
There were stories you couldn't tell.
Yes,
really in church.
I could come back and just say, "Dude, this is what happened, and it was so fun.
It was just nice.
We had a great time. We had a great time. Okay, here's let me think of which order I want to. Let me look at. Let's go, Ron Roberts. Mm. Okay, Ron Roberts. For the people that don't know, now listen. I'm 44. I'm at 46 states. The Win Loser Top podcast.
Are you really? That's awesome.
31 countries. I don't know how. I don't know who I know in Malaysia.
Because people have good taste.
I don't know. I think they're teaching English.
Yeah.
Listening to this. And that's the problem. But I heard that was a thing that to teach English, they listen to podcasts in different countries. Like they'll listen to English podcasts.
Well, hello Malaysia, and all your
Wiz Kitley, mm-hmm. added Austria,
yeah.
But he's been to all the Olympics,
exactly, because he knows people there, which is another crazy thing.
I know, but anyway, okay, let's talk Ron Roberts. Ron Roberts, for the people that don't know, is the weatherman at KMAC with Ron, and I'm so sorry. With Ron and David and Lori, Lauren Motter, and first off, Lauren Motter, and Brian Mudd and Ron Roberts and David Collier. I think y'all have the best banter. It's the best. It is so fun.
Because we're actually good friends. And, you know, a lot of people have to sort of, or in this business, have to sort of force it a little bit. We're actually good friends. Dude, so it works.
It is so fun. I love it. I love it.
You know, the best question I get about Ron Roberts?
What?
And it's put just like this every time. So you like Ron Roberts, right? they want to think we just drill this guy.
Yeah, you give him the hardest time. I know.
They're really making fun. They're having a good time, right? Or do they really hate this guy?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but no. Yes, we love Ron.
Yeah, but you know what? He gives it right back.
Right.
And that's what's fun about it. But okay, so I've told this story before, but I don't think you heard it. But one day that was guaranteed severe weather, when I worked at Channel 11, mm-hmm. guaranteed it was just going to be a major event at the 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was going to be.
Yeah.
Emily was coming. Emily told Greg and I, go home. Just go home.
because number one, it's probably not safe. And number two, we ain't doing sports.
Right.
There's no way.
Right.
So what we did is we went the long way to our house to the strip and got a bottle of Jack Daniels and then drove to our house.
Mm-hmm.
And we sat down to watch Ron Roberts because we knew this was going to be the best TV we had seen in a long time, and he delivered.
Did you do the drinking game thing? We get tons of people who do drinking games over certain keywords with Ron during severe weather.
But we did this, and I bet we could have gotten fired if we would have said who we really were.
Mm.
But hail is coming down. All right.
Yeah.
It's hailing. I mean.
Yeah.
And Greg and I are trying to move our cars under trees and stuff at our house. I mean, it's crazy. But Ron is taking calls and taking, like, people are calling in wanting to get reports. We've got golf ball size hail on this part of Lubbock, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Well, Greg and I are just like, dude, all right.
Did you call in?
79th and University, soccer ball size hail. Soccer ball size hail. And it is crazy.
Did that get on the air?
And Ron goes, we've got a report of soccer ball size hail, but I just don't think that. I don't think that's right. I don't think that's right. And dude, Greg and I are high-fiving in the living room.
Oh, it's the greatest.
It is the greatest. And so Ron, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry about that. We shouldn't have done that. But, you know, I've heard words that I'd use now. Thunder sleet.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard it before in my life.
Yep.
He has used that. So Ron, when Run for the Hills Ron nickname, now he knows that's a nickname.
Oh yeah, he loves it.
He does
loves it. Yes.
And just, I mean, instead of me sitting here trying to find a question, just talk about Ron Roberts and what he is.
First of all, he is what you see on TV is him. He lives, dies, breathes, eats, sleeps, the whole list, weather, and that whole weather nerd science thing.
Yeah.
Lives it every day of his life. At his house, he has an entire studio, which is basically a match of what you see.
Well, we saw some of it
on TV.
COVID.
Yeah, and you saw during some of it then. Mm-hmm. He's ready to go. I mean, he does this, and he spends his spare time on this. It is his hobby. And his job and his life and passion.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, what you see is what you get. And it is the most obnoxious nerd stuff. And you know, he's really, really good at it.
He is really good at it.
And he will tell you he is really good at it.
Yes,
Ron,
he's
one of his great lines is, I am my favorite weather guy.
Yes.
And he loves him some Ron Roberts. And so we like to bring the king down to earth just a little bit. Whenever possible, and the answer to, you know, you like Ron, right? Is yes, because if we actually had some bad hard feelings, he would have stabbed me in the neck with a pen a long time ago. But he really loves it, and he gives it right back. A lot of it we can't show on TV,
right?
That we get back
and,
from
and,
him.
And there's a ton of it. I want to know what y'all talked about during the break because y'all are laughing when you come back, and I'm like, oh please, just can we get a separate channel,
right?
Where it's just the raw feed,
the Facebook Live raw feed kind of thing. We should bring that back. We did that for a little while. And Ron,
but let me ask it
okay.
in this way. Let me ask it in this way. So when David yells off mic at Ron, or one of you yells, he's doing the weather, and somebody will just say something to him
right.
off mic, and it'll throw him for a little bit. But dude, but he's gonna give it right back.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
He's gonna give it right back to you. And I mean, I just.
And now
let me listen. This is what I want to say. He's okay. There are three weather guys. There used to be four, but there's three weather guys in town. I call them three. There's one at KLBK who's mm-hmm. pretty good,
mm-hmm.
and there's one that's been at KCBD who's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's whatever your flavor is.
Right.
You get it.
Right.
You're gonna get your flavor of weather guy.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, one of the nicest men in the entire world works for one station. One of these up and comer guys works for another station, but my favorite weather guy works is Ron Roberts.
Right.
It's almost must see TV. It really, really is.
Yeah. And it's
amazing.
It's a unique situation. If you watch news cast from all over the country, like we do sometimes, just to see what other people are doing.
Yeah, for sure.
We have a very unique interplay between the four of us, and it really directed a lot at Ron because he's an easy target.
Right.
You don't get that in a lot of places. In fact, you don't get that in a vast majority of places. Mm-hmm. Number one, they wouldn't allow it. And two, yeah, but and two, you don't have people who are legit friends like we are.
Yeah.
Who could deal with that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So that's I'm really it's fortunate to be part of that. Because people try and take classes and bring in expensive coaches to come and help you with the interplay like that we kind of do on our own.
And you can't, it's almost unteachable.
Yeah. And some people hate it.
Yeah.
Like the viewer. They'll complain, why do y'all waste my time with all of this and this kind of stuff and blah, blah. And I said, look, if we did things like, and I don't mean this in a bad way, if we did things exactly like Channel 11 did them, mm-hmm. why would you want to watch us?
Right, exactly.
There's no real reason to change because they do a great job.
Yeah.
But it's pretty cut and dry. Yeah. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
But if we did it just like they did it, first of all, we'd be cheating ourselves because it's not really who we are.
Right.
And two, there'd be no reason for anyone to ever change the channel.
Right.
I hear you. Yeah.
I want to ask this question real quick. And I asked this of other news people that I've been on. Your best blooper. What is your, to me? And I know everybody always goes, oh, there's 1,000 of them.
There is.
Yeah. And they're, dude, Brian, I anchored probably 30 times in my life and I have 30 bloopers. it's hard to pick one, but is there one that comes to mind? A blooper that you had?
That I did? Yeah. Oh man. There was once in North Carolina. I had been out to do a late interview, and I'm actually breaking news that a basketball coach at East Carolina was getting fired.
Okay.
And I made a phone call, and I'm literally, and this is pre-cell phone day, so, you know, it's all on the fly. Mm-hmm. I'm getting in the station like 5 minutes before the 6 o'clock news. I'm throwing a tie on. They're setting a live shut up in the newsroom because I'm in a hurry, and I get to the point, and they... Brian Mubbitt's breaking news, and I'm sweating, and I'm half, the tie's not even straight, and I lock up. You know, and you know what I'm talking about. Every once in a great while, you get an absolute mental freeze up where your brain is saying, talk, you idiot.
Yeah.
And no words are coming out.
That's what happens when I talk to girls.
But you know what and people out there know, that's exactly what this is.
Yeah.
It's a total vapor lock. And I'm like, it was the worst. And I literally had to reset like 3 times and I finally got the words out. And by that time I'm all flustered.
Yeah.
And it's a mess.
You're just like, so-and-so's getting fired, back to you.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah.
Get me out of here.
Yeah. That was pretty much it. Oh my God. Oh, it was the worst. I remember literally slumping to the floor when it was done.
Oh, man.
And the news director kind of comes out and he says, we'll try again later.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
This is the worst. And why am I doing this?
Yeah. I want to tell you, I want to go back real quick. What you're talking about, if you weren't different, then why would you change the channel kind of deal?
Yeah.
You know, at one station that I worked at, it was cut and dry.
You know,
you got what you wanted. And
mm-hmm.
So I'm on the set, and they read the lottery numbers. Mm-hmm. And it comes off back to a one-shot of Christy Harden, and we're about to sign off.
Right.
Yeah. You know? And as soon as they read that last number, I go, I want it. I want it. I did it. I want it. Just to be funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you really?
Yes. And you can't even see me, right?
Uh-huh.
The phone's ringing. It's Benji Sneed. And he goes, hilarious. Don't ever effing do it again.
Oh, that's so good. But that difference in philosophies.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And on our side, it's like, do you guys be you and do your thing.
Yeah.
And if it works sometimes, yeah. or if it doesn't work sometimes, that's fine too, because we'll get more out of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a difference in it.
Yeah. Well, and okay, here's another thing, and this kind of gets serious a little bit, because people tend to get on my nerves. But okay, people that criticize news and they're like, it's all just force feeding you whatever. Brian, you write your news, and nobody's telling you. I mean, there's a news director. I understand.
Right.
There's a process, but nobody's sitting there telling you to say Joe Biden is an idiot.
Right.
Nobody's sitting there telling you to say, and I'm not getting political. I do not do politics on the show.
Sure.
But I just want people to get through their thick skulls that you don't have an agenda.
No.
There's no agenda for, at least in local news.
No.
You want to watch MSNBC or Fox News or wherever, that's fine. There's agendas there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to watch KMAC, nobody's sitting there telling you, Ron, I mean, or Brian, you've got to say that that Joe Biden is the worst president ever.
Right. Yeah. I've never been told for any reason by any of my bosses there, you have to lean a certain way.
Right.
Or you have to not say bad things about Donald Trump or Joe Biden. Yeah. Never. That is or local folks.
Sure.
Be fair to everyone, but is the only real mandate that we ever have, and that's an easy one.
Okay,
so that's never happened, and it never would. And it has happened at other corporate, nationally owned, local news organizations.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you right now, if that ever happened to me, I'm out the door.
Yeah,
that's not that will not fly.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
Now, lastly, we're getting close to the end here. I'm trying to do my best. I've done a self-critique, hard critique of the show.
Okay.
Because when it's opening day, number one today.
And, Major League Baseball.
The Cardinals.
Cardinals in L.A.
And what's crazy is, how are you a Cardinals fan? And I love it because you're a Cardinals fan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Cardinals fan. When Jason Jennings was here, he was a Cardinals fan.
Yeah.
And when Jared Edwards is here, he was a Cardinals fan.
Cole Banker, who is our weekend sports guy now. He's from St. Louis.
So,
yeah.
We're here. I got Pujols bobblehead on.
Right. And grew up in St. Louis, so we were always there. Yeah. Dude,
and I just want the people to understand. I want, in your words, tell us, what's it like to be a St. Louis Cardinals fan? Just tell people what it's like.
So much better than being a Cubs fan.
It did. That's it. Dude, that's so well put, and that's all you had to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know Cubs fans. And look, I was the first person to cheer when they won a World Series a few years ago because they got to experience that for a moment.
I made it.
Good for them.
Yep.
Our world is so much better.
It is. I know.
And all the Budweiser you want.
Yeah. And, dude, it's so funny because I said, you know what? I did. I made a long Facebook post when the Cubs won.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I have so many friends that are Cubs fans. I have so many. And to be honest with you, it brings me joy to see my friends have joy in their lives.
Right.
And it does bring me joy. I sincerely, because the Cardinals weren't in the playoff. I mean, they weren't, you know.
Yeah.
So, but it brought me joy to see my friends get so much joy out of it.
And get that moment.
And get,
you know, that we've done many times.
And I just wanted to go do it 10 more times. And now you'll know how I feel.
Yeah, and then we'll talk.
Exactly.
Enjoy your moment.
Yeah.
See you next season.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So go Cards. Hopefully, we don't end up last like we did last season. Last season was rough.
It was rough.
Second to last. How do you remain calm when there's breaking news or
you know, let's say there's severe weather, big time severe weather, which not too long ago was, we got close to having something really bad. Remaining calm, or when shit's going wrong, let's say technical glitches, which happens.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
How do you, with you and yourself, remain calm when you're sitting there on the desk?
Well, number,
number one, it's your fault to everybody else.
Right. Everyone assumes it's you. Right. Yeah. Two things. One, I've been on in TV news in one form or another, I guess, for 31 years now. Mm-hmm. I have messed it all up so many times. I know how bad it is and how bad it isn't. It always looks, in my head, it's worse than it actually is. People at home, it's not as bad. That's number one. So it makes it easier to get out of a situation. I know just shortcuts on how to rework things a lot to get out of a bad situation. And most of the technical glitches and things no one sees.
Yes.
And we tap dance around it and people don't know.
Yeah.
So that's comforting because I've done it so much.
But that's a skill.
Yeah. It learned. You just do it by mistake, you know, learn by mistakes and you go around. Two, you have to understand the role of being a TV news guy. And when you're an anchor on the desk and there's a bad situation, the goal is to inform, but also to not panic.
Yeah.
That's your job. And to keep people from panicking. That's your job.
Yeah.
You look at old, you know, YouTube reels of what news anchors were doing and saying on 9/11 and how everyone's voice was calm like this. Mm-hmm. That's intentional. Yeah. When the inside you're panicking, you're like, oh my God, we're under attack.
Yeah.
What's next? Ah, you know, the inside, my job is to keep people from going any more bananas than they are.
Right.
And to let them know what's safe and what isn't, mm-hmm. and let them give them the information they need to do what mm-hmm. they have to do. That's the number one part of our job, really, in those kind of situations. Yeah. So that's got to kick in.
Yeah.
You know.
And then lastly, what a lot of people don't know is you have an earpiece in.
Mm-hmm.
And I never got used to that. I never got used to hearing somebody talk to me while I'm talking.
Yeah.
And I know they try not to and whatever, but
sometimes
do you to me, that was the hardest part. I would take it off because I was like, it's too distracting for me.
Right. It's another learned skill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Try that sometimes, folks. Try having a conversation while your earbuds are in, listening to a podcast.
Right.
Just try that.
And not say that. Have your words come out of your mouth that you just heard in the podcast. Absolutely. Or whatever you're listening to. Because your brain works that way.
Sometimes the words you hear, you can't say in your ear.
Right. So. You can kind of tell with me, though, when someone, if there's something crazy going on, the producer's like, okay, we've got to do this, and we've got to move right now, and this has got to change, and you're going here next, and this is all while you're talking.
Yes.
And sometimes I'll go into vapor lock still doing that.
Yeah. But that's hard to do.
Basically, it's reading, listening and thinking about something else while you're reading.
Yeah.
And that's you know, it's the patting your head and rubbing your belly and
all that.
Have you ever been a drummer? It's the same sort of thing. You got to do three different things at once.
Right. Right. Man, you've done it all. You've said it all. I can't get enough of you, Brian Mudd.
And dude, I'm glad the best. Thanks for having me in. That's so awesome.
Dude.
I'm so thrilled with the success that you're having with this thing. It's not even funny. I wish you had never gotten out of TV.
Well,
I say it all the time to people.
Well, I yell out, I won the lottery. So, you know, just
if you ever hear that from me, it's legit and I ain't coming back.
And if you happen to get David Muir's phone number, I am not a gay man. I am not. And I'm not really attracted to men at all, but I know a good looking man when I see one.
You got a little man crush on the dude. I understand that.
Yeah.
I understand that.
And so David Muir is my dude.
Yeah.
And so, if you ever get a chance to meet him, sometimes you do on that.
Yeah.
Just say, hey man. Say what's up to Ty.
Shout out to the Win Loser Tie podcast.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, Mr. Brian Mudd, any parting thoughts? Do you won the day?
Oh,
That means the Cardinals are going to win today.
You know, I'm feeling good about life now. Life just because of hanging out with Ty King.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks, man. I do appreciate you.
Anytime, brother.
Absolutely. And as I end my podcast, I end my podcast with one word and one word only. And that word is how I ended all my phone calls in the 90s, which was the coolest way to end your phone call in the 90s. And that one word is
peace.